I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back. No place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School is the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. Now, you know, you can't be an overcomer unless there's something to come over. Mm-hmm. And there are many issues in life, but it's God's will that never that you win a few and lose a few. Don't believe that, you know, well, you know, God, there are times it's his plan for you to be defeated and for you to lose and lose and lose. And I'm not talking about playing a sports game. I'm talking about lose in life, in things that matter. Never is it God's will for you to be defeated. Amen. The spirit of faith is the spirit of victory, yes. The spirit of the overcomer. Yes. And one of my favorite verses, he always causes me to triumph. Right. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, that ain't win a few, lose a few. Said out loud, he always causes me to triumph. And the rest of that passage in Corinthians talks about the savor or the fragrance of that victory. That's a big part of your and my witness, yes, and testimony. Mm-hmm. When people see God deliver us, amen, and meet our needs, amen, and heal us, amen, and give us victory after victory after victory, that's a big part of our witness, yeah, right? Yes. Well, Father, we thank you that that is your plan and will for us, victory after victory. Thank you so much. We ask you for the impartation of your word today and the supply of your spirit today in just the areas and ways that you know we need it most and best. We ask for utterance and ears to hear and answers for today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Look, please, in 1 Corinthians 10 again. We're continuing in our series that we're calling Overcoming Unbelief. And we've already had a number of lessons on this. And if you're joining us for the first time, I encourage you to go to faithschool.org and go to the beginning of the series, Overcoming Unbelief, and catch up with us, because there's a lot of background and foundation that's connected to what we're doing now. No charge, won't cost you anything to do that except some time. And it'll be worth your time, I'm convinced. 1 Corinthians 10 says, talking about the first generation of Israelites that were delivered from Egyptian bondage. Verse 5 says, with many of them, God was not well pleased. They were overthrown in the wilderness. God was not pleased with their fear and unbelief. And he was not pleased with them perishing in the wilderness. That wasn't his plan. That was not his will. Verse 6, now these things were our examples. They're examples for us. To the intent we should not lust after evil things as they lusted, neither be idolaters as some of them. Don't commit fornication as some of them. Don't tempt Christ as some of them. Don't murmur as some of them. Now all these things happened to them for examples, we might say, for us. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. It's a big mistake to say, oh, you know, that's all Old Testament. You know, that don't apply. That's not us today. I don't have to think about that. He's talking to you. He says, don't think. If you think you're standing, take heed lest you fall, because, you know, I don't think they originally set out to die in the wilderness. Huh? Right. But that's where they wound up. Exactly. And he's saying, don't let this happen to you. Don't let this happen. And many people wouldn't even know what you're talking about. They've never read Exodus. They've never read Deuteronomy. They've never read Numbers. I've heard people in the modern times going, oh man, I'm glad I don't even have to look at all that anymore. You know, all that stuff, that don't apply to us anymore. The Word of God is the Word of God.
Right.
It's always the Word of God. It's truth. Mm-hmm. It's right. It's good. And our covenant has changed. Our access to God has changed because of what Jesus has done. But God hasn't changed.
Right.
The enemy hasn't changed. Faith hasn't changed. Fear hasn't changed. The curse hasn't changed. The blessing hasn't changed. And there's so much about all this in what we call the Old Testament. Go with me again to Numbers, the 21st chapter. And this now is we're studying the 14th event of these 15 episodes where they failed to trust God. And he mentions what four or five of them in that 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, don't do this, don't do this, are some of these 15 episodes. In chapter 21, verse 4, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. They are out of the will of God. They are off of God's timeline. They are not experiencing what He had planned for them to experience. Is why it is so hard and so discouraging. But whose fault is that? That's one of the biggest things we've got to get clear, class. Because so many people in modern churches, they keep beating on God's in control. God's in control. Yeah, but you need to clarify, in control of what? God's controlling everything we do and all of our choices. And well, then we're not a free moral agent. We're something else. We're being controlled like a puppet. That's not true. I said, it's just not true. We really do have a choice. And if you choose to ignore God, not trust Him, not believe Him, not obey Him, you will experience a different life than He had planned for you. And it won't be a good life. And it'll be hard. And if you keep going that way year after year and decade after decade, you can get so discouraged. And I hear people say, well, it just seems like there should be something else. It just seems like that there should be more. Yeah, because there should be, right? Well, I don't know why God won't be. Wrong question. Wrong question. Why God's making you go through this? Mm-mm. He's not the one that made all your choices. Are y'all with me, class? This is so important to get this. Because much of the church doesn't agree with what I'm saying right now. They don't believe this. And because of that, you keep believing these lies, you cannot get things sorted in your life. You'll just keep yielding to and cooperating with a plan other than God's. And the problem is, we don't live down here very long. And so next thing you know, you look up and you're old and your time's done and you wasted it. But by the grace of God, we're not going to do that. What do you say? Because we're going to be willing to repent.
Amen.
Keep that word in mind. One of the definitions of repent is change. We're going to be willing to change. When you have a sense in your heart and your mind, things just don't seem right. Things just don't seem right. Well, why do you have that? It's time to seek God. I said it's time to seek God earnestly. Pray extra. Fast some. Why? Lord, what's going on? Why are things like this? What needs to happen? What needs to change? And if you're serious about it, He's faithful. He will show you. And it'll require a change, right? A change. And the thing is, a lot of times people just are unwilling to do it. They're just, well, no, you know, I'm comfortable in my life, and, you know, and I just, ooh, I'm scared about that. I don't know what that would be like. And exactly the, it, doesn't that sound like these guys here? We can't do it. You should have left us in Egypt. We're all going to die out here. So they were much discouraged because of the way, but it was not God's plan and His will. And the people spoke against God, and they spoke against Moses. And that's one, I believe, a good definition of the term murmuring. Now you'll find, I don't know, a couple of dozen times that word from Exodus through Deuteronomy, that's what they kept doing, murmuring against God, murmuring against Moses. Did you hear the word that was with both of those? Against. And notice here, they spoke what? Against God. Murmuring is speaking against. And it involves complaining and blaming. Complaining and blaming. And you want to stay far from that. That's one reason why we keep talking about these things. You want to identify this. And if you hear yourself start muttering and griping about things and blaming somebody else, and you realize that you want to go, oh, God, do I want to die in the desert? Do I want to miss the plan of God? No, you get a hold, you say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. I'm not judging that person. I'm taking responsibility for my decisions in life. Repent for complaining and blaming. And that's that change. Everybody say repent, repent, repent. That's the change that allow, even though you make some big mistakes, that can allow you to still get God's best. Amen. Even after you've made some big mistakes. And he goes on to say, they spoke against God and against Moses. Why, wherefore, have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread. There's no water. Our soul loatheth this light bread. See, complaining, unthankful, blaming. This is the language of evil unbelief. Blessing, robbing unbelief. It goes on to say, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Now, we talked about this on yesterday's class, about how that word sent, you find it hundreds of times in the Old Testament. And that same word is numerous times translated let loose or let go. Let loose, let go. And, in, you know, language changes throughout generations and all of this. And what we have here is Hebrew to Old English that we have to think in modern English. And if you got the Holy Spirit, He'll help you get it. Amen. And if you'll always examine it in the light of other scriptures, then you'll understand it. But we talked about, did it please God for these people to get snake bit?
No.
Do you think so?
No.
Now, we say that, but there's people who say, well, I just believe everything happens for a reason. And it said God sent them snakes in there, and so He must have had a purpose in it. Well, I don't doubt that there's a reason for something, but the reason could be they wouldn't listen to God,
right,
and they're griping and complaining again for the umpteenth time.
Right.
And like we began to get into yesterday, they removed their protection.
Right.
They removed their hedge, something we do not want to do. Do you agree? We don't want to remove the hedge. Look with me again in, let me read this to you. You can go to Isaiah 5 again, and I'll just read this passage to you from Lamentations 3. You might want to mark this verse down if you're taking a note. Lamentations 3, 31. This is insight, every one of these things, and it'll help you because there's more than one phrase, particularly in the Old Testament, where it talks about God judging and God doing this or doing that. And it's important to understand it's in a permissive sense. And that just because God passed judgment that allowed the destroyer access, that does not mean it pleased him or that it was his will. And like we said, if you want to argue the point and go, well, no, it said God did it, so God did it. Like I said yesterday, well, then all you got to do is obey and you don't have to be concerned about it. Either way, you want to believe it, but you'll see the scriptures reveal that just like what the Lord said in Ezekiel, he said, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dies. He said, why will you die, O Israel? And he's calling them, repent. Why? So I can save you, right? So I can protect you again. But here, this is a big question we need to answer. Does God owe everyone protection?
No.
Hmm? Now, you know, I see the class here going, no, we don't think so. And I'm with you. I see it in the Word. But you'll see it's kind of an unspoken thing, even among the unbelievers and ungodly. People think everybody is owed a good life. Hmm? Well, they deserve it. Everybody deserves a good life. Why? Why are you owed protection and blessing and success because you exist? Why? And what you begin to find out is there is no success. There is no protection outside of God.
That's right?
Right? Does he owe people who reject him and blaspheme his name, but he owes them protection and success and blessing? No, he does not. I said, no, he does not. And that's what you see with some of these things. In Lamentations 3, I'll just read this to you, verse 31. It says, the Lord will not cast off forever. He's merciful. Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. This is what's true. There is not a cruel micro amount in God. Hmm? He is light. And in him is no darkness at all. He is good. And in him is no evil. None. None. What he is merciful. His mercy endures forever. But there are a lot of folks, that doesn't matter. It wouldn't matter how merciful you are or how many opportunities you give them. They're still going to be defiant and rebellious and disobedient. And so because he's the righteous judge of all the earth, he has to make judgment concerning what happens with them. Now and later. And like we talked about last week, I don't want all these evil, blasphemous unbelievers living beside me in heaven. Do you? Messing up the neighborhood? No. No. And that's why there has to be a separation between the godly and the ungodly. So verse 33, though, he says, for he does not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. When God passes judgment that allows the destroyer access, it grieves him. He doesn't want to, he's not willing to do it. It's not his will. Think about this, friends. God having to make a judgment call that he don't want to make. Well, if he enjoyed the destruction, he wouldn't be good. Can you see that? If he had some kind of perverse pleasure in people being tormented, he wouldn't be the good God we're talking about. But he says, he does not afflict willingly. And again, this is King James language. Listen to the Dewey says the similar thing. He has not willingly afflicted nor cast off the children of men. The psalmist, Psalm 119:67, says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. That's that repentance thing, right? You know? He said, I went off the track. I got in trouble. But now I keep your word. and I'm not afflicted anymore. I tell you, for time's sake, go to Luke. I know you were holding Isaiah 5, but go to Luke 13. There are some really big answers in what we're talking about today. And you want to give the Word of God priority in what you choose to believe. Just because you've believed something all your life does not make it right. Just because everybody you know believes it does not make it right. The majority is not always right. Usually wrong. How can you know it's right? This book is right. Hallelujah. I've been examining it best I know how, scrutinizing it for decades. And the more I do, you know what I see? It's right. It's right. It'll stand and withstand any kind of pressure you want to put on it because it is eternally true and pure and right, which proves it's not just the words of men. It's the Word of God. Because the words of men are not perfect. It came through human vessels, but it's the Word of God. In Luke 13, Jesus was presented with an issue that's pertinent to us today. Verse 1 says, there were present at that season, Luke 13, 1, some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. They came to the temple to offer sacrifices, and that would be the slaying of animals and taking the blood and applying it. And for some reason, Pilate was upset with them. And instead of just the animals being killed, he slaughtered them. He slaughtered them. And of course, this news went all over the area. Everybody in the area knew about it. And Jesus answering and said to them, suppose you, or do you think, that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? Now, friend, this is the answer to the question, why do bad things happen? Or why do bad things happen even to good people? It's right here. That's what he's dealing with. And here he brings up what a lot of people, I've heard Christians say this kind of thing, assume. People hear that happened and they go, ooh, you know, boy, there must have been some mean people, you know, for that to happen to them. Because, you know, bad things happen to bad people. So Jesus just brings it out. He says what people were thinking. He says, do you think they were sinners worse than everybody else in Galilee because that happened to them? I tell you, no. So what's the answer to that?
No.
When bad things happen to people. This includes what people call accidents. This includes crime. This includes storms, earthquakes, hurricanes, you name it. People, you know, when they hear about these sometimes terrible tragedies, the question is, why? Why did that happen? And you'll hear people say, Christians, you'll hear this answer more than just about any other thing. Well, we just don't understand God's ways, God's purpose, God's thing. So they're saying, God's in control of everything. So he's in control of the storm. See, this is reasoning, not revelation. It's tradition, not truth. And Jesus cautioned and warned. He said, the Word of God's been made of none effect by your tradition. And many church-going people hold much more dear traditional beliefs than they do the Word of God. And all of us need to watch out for it. Which is why you need a steady, daily dose. Is that right?
Yes,
of it is written.
Amen.
To keep you on your toes, right?
Yes, sir.
And to keep checking yourself.
Yes.
Because what'll happen is the more full of the word you get, you'll start thinking about something you believe in, and you go, hold on now. The scripture says this, right? So it messes up your belief. And your belief needs to be replaced with believing the word.
Amen.
Instead of the tradition. And so he says, no, that's not why that happened to them. Because they were bad people and worse people than anybody else. But accept you what? Accept you what? Isn't that what we've been talking about the whole time?
Yes.
Now see, I haven't digressed from our study. The snakes are in the desert. But they're not having any trouble with them. But now, the protection is removed. And the snakes come into the camp by the scores of thousands. What would be your move? How do you get free from the problem? How do you get the protection restored? Come on, help me out. How? Repent. Do they need to repent?
Yes.
Yeah. From blaming God and believing lies that God wants to kill them and all that stupid. Yeah, they need to repent. Yeah, they need to repent. He goes on another example. He says, you know, those 18 people that the tower in Siloam fell on and killed them. Do you think they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? People say, I wonder why God, you know, took them like that. Wrong question. Wrong question. Well, I wonder why God, you know, let them die in that car wreck. Or I wonder why God let them die. Wrong question. Wrong question. The question is, why wasn't God able to protect them?
That's right.
Yes, sir. And what's the answer? Needed to repent. I tell you no, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Class, it is so important that every day of our lives we get up believing and confessing protection.
Yes, sir.
And we pray and we pay attention to what the Lord tells us.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yes.
Follow the leading of His Spirit. If He says don't go,
don't go.
Don't go. Right? And, you know, you won't be at the wrong place at the wrong time. But even at that, we've all made mistakes. And if you'll trust Him, and when He shows you something, make a change, the protection stays up.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. And that's how it's supposed to be until our life is finished down here and we get out of here.
Yes.
Say it out loud, Lord,
Lord,
I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to change.
I'm willing to repent.
Thank
you for keeping me,
always,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Our time's up again today. We'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.